Hello, hello. Welcome to B2B Craftworks, a podcast about business writing. My name is Sarah Griesenbach, founder of the B2B Writing Institute. And you can probably hear my face breaking with the brightest smile that I have, because not only is it October, but the weather is perfect, and it's B2B writing seminar season. So I actually just got off the call with the 15 or so people who are making this journey this time around. And I was actually journaling this morning and writing about how cool it is that I love doing this still. So this is round 4 or 5. You'd think I'd know that. But every single time we do it, it's like a kaleidoscope because it's completely different. I'm different. The topics that are relevant are different. The people in it are different. And even if they are the same people, they're in a different place. So it ends up every single time being this thing that we build together. And there are themes, there are milestones as we go through everything. Because it starts with today, which is just an introduction to writing in B2B. And then we go through ideation and brainstorming, outlining and researching. New this time around is subject matter expert interviews, which will be its own whole day. Then writing introductions and conclusions, then writing the body work, and then some common themes for everybody to think about. So we hit on each of those topics each time, but what's relevant and what really jumps out to people is different every time, and I just love it. One of the things I added this time around was super corny, but I believe it with all my heart, and I was so excited to find this quote. It's from The Inner Game of Tennis, the classic guide to the mental side of peak performance. And it is so relevant for writing or any kind of performance that you might be trying to tune into. And it's by Timothy Galway. And the quote is, "When we plant a rose seed in the earth, we notice that it's small, but we don't criticize it as rootless and stemless. We treat it as a seed, giving it the water and nourishment required of a seed. When it first shoots up out of the earth, we don't condemn it as immature and underdeveloped, nor do we criticize the buds for not being open when they appear. We stand in wonder at the process taking place and give the plant the care it needs at each stage of its development. The rose is a rose from the time it is a seed to the time it dies. Within it, at all times, it contains its whole potential. It seems to be constantly in the process of change, yet at each state, at each moment, it is perfectly all right as it is." And that just, mic drop, that is teaching to me. Because everybody who came today has all of their potential and skill and their power as a writer just built into them. And the purpose of this is to give them that nourishment and that support at each stage of the development. So for some people, this is the introduction to B2B. Never done it before. They are a seed. They are feeling rootless and stemless, and it does not feel good. There's been a lot of like nighttime Google Doc therapy going on, which I love. For some people, they've already done some things. They have some stems. They have some roots. They just want to be bigger and stronger, and we go there. So we go a little bit deeper. Feedback gets a little more complex, a little more overthinking happens. But I think as long as I'm talking about writing and as long as I'm helping writers figure out what they're doing and do it better so that they can make more money, that's what I want. And I think that bleeds into something else that's interesting, which is when we first go to write a clip or write a spec piece or something where we haven't done it before, that sense of being an imposter, that sense of faking it or maybe even misleading clients, comes up for a lot of people because the people attracted to journalism and this long form kind of marketing tend to be really ethical, thoughtful, considerate people. And so they don't want to misrepresent anything that they're doing. And that is so important. I think that's why I love working in this space so much. But I think this quote really gets to it, that like we're only rootless and stemless because we haven't immersed ourselves in this environment yet. We still have all this potential to help just by writing and listening and talking. And then we're adding that B2B layer of expertise. and that technique and the parts of the process that we bring as a value for our clients, that's what we're adding and developing, bringing in over time. So if anything, that's a great reason to practice a thought leadership article, because even though you aren't sharing the thought leadership of a specific brand or company or person, you're still practicing and going through those motions of writing about a topic with the goal of educating and enlightening someone. And you're building those habits and practicing using those muscles so that when you have a real thought leadership client to work with, it's going to feel even better than what you're doing now because you have the real thing. So maybe I'm a little more progressive about that, but I think as long as you wrote all the words, I think that counts as evidence of your skill and it's fair game for a portfolio. So this week, I think I was just riding my enthusiasm for the B2B Writing Seminar kicking off today. I think that really distracted me because it was just a wonderful day. I got in, I did a little client work, I had a little breakfast, I read a little bit of a fun book. That's a promise I often make to myself and then don't do because I don't like to have fun. And then at 12:30, I cut everything off and I listened to my Power Up playlist. And I did my mantras, and I smiled, and I went and talked with 15 people who are learning B2B writing this time around. So cool. But other things that happened this week. Yesterday, I got to meet with Christine from Paid Copywriter and Janine from Savvy Nurse Writer, and we're actually preparing a fun event for closer to the end of the year. So I think you'll hear more about that, but it's going to be wild. And it was really cool to get together with just two other type A writers who, like, we had an outline of our meeting. We had it in Google Docs. We just made decisions like bam. And it was really cool. Cause usually I don't like group work all that much. So to do group work with other people who I feel like are just as on the ball as I am, if not more, that was fantastic. Then I also made time to go to a journaling meeting for my mindset group that I've been in the past year or two. And the theme was celebrating our progress, which is also something I'm not particularly good at doing. But it was really neat to go around the room, and it just happened to be all women on the call, but to see everybody own their growth, talk about how they've grown because they really see it, and then pass around these observations we've had about each other. Because some of us, we knew each other pretty darn well. Some of us, we've only done a couple calls, but it was still really easy to see the growth and change that's happened in everyone. And just to own a compliment, to have someone say something nice about you and not let it roll off your skin like it didn't have an impact and you are swatting it away like a big fly, that is really cool. And then a bit earlier this week, we had our free webinar on burnout and writer's block, which was, it felt really intimate to me, at least. I really liked it. And that was Brooklyn Nash and Christine Gomulka and Karina Rampelt. And it was this mix of insightful Q&A and a look into the life of a long-term writer and marketer with some really practical and diagnostic tips about writer's block and burnout that caught me by surprise and were very accurate to my experience, at least. So I really love that. I made it to the sauna twice, which is very significant for me because it's really hard for me to take the time in my mind and say I'm going to not do something for a whole lot just for my health and just for my relaxation. But I'm so glad I did. I'm actually going to go again today. So I'm trying to up that detox. On Wednesday, I had improv, and on Monday, I had watercolors. So I think, not that you asked, but I just get an A+ on leisure life this week. I think I did a great job. I probably could have slept more. I probably could have enjoyed more time with my family. But when it comes to taking time away to not be a work robot, I think I did mighty fine this week. All right, I'm scanning my journal for more things to share, and the moms around me are going to laugh, but I wrote on Saturday, I said, we seem to be in a new era of rotating super fun with super annoying. One kid spitting, another kid hitting, or it's an idyllic family time. So somehow it's just always going to be highs and lows. And maybe kids are a unique situation, but I'm always thinking about stress and mindset and how, you know, there's so much thought out there that stress is about perception, or if we just change our mindset and think about things differently, we would feel less stress. But then there's also just legitimately stressful things going on. And I don't know how someone would just be in a dire situation and not feel stress about it. That doesn't seem evolutionarily sound. But I know it's true, because the more I do morning pages and the more I look at limiting beliefs and I do change my mindset about certain things, I really can see progress in stress and stress management. So it's this weird mix of seeing it work in my life, but then also not mentally really agreeing with the idea that you could just take any stress and eliminate it by thinking about it differently. That seems dismissive. I don't know. It's a mess, so we'll keep thinking about it. Work-wise, I think this was a much easier writing week for me as well, because I finally started to fix the overscheduling I was doing. When I go back and look at September, I started to add extra calls on Mondays and Fridays, so I didn't have that clear workday anymore. And then, of course, with watercolors and then the seminar, Mondays and Fridays are cool. But then I was also filling those time blocks with calls, man, some as early as 10 and as late as 4 on a couple days. And it just threw me off so much, because preparing for calls, taking the calls, and then coming down from the call, it takes time and energy from me. So when I have a heavy call day, it's really not going to be a creative or good writing day. And so finding that balance of just 12 to 3 p.m. taking calls, really taking the morning for morning pages and creative work, playing with that mix, I just did a much better job of that this week. And so I had much larger writing blocks to actually work through this important client work that I'm doing. But it's just funny how obvious that becomes when you actually look back on your schedule and start thinking about how different weeks felt and what you took time for on different weeks. And something I'll do when I feel especially overwhelmed, I have my Apple calendar and I actually create a new calendar called Time Block or Time Tracker. And so I'll create this overlay to show myself what my work days look like, so that I can see if I have my work day scheduled from 7:45 to 4:30, but I'm constantly taking calls after 4 and that's making me late, or I'm constantly coming in late and not starting till 9. That just gives me really good insights about how I'm spending my time so I can make different choices. But I think I get bonus points again because I actually put lunch on my calendar a couple days. And usually that's very much a second thought that's not really in the front of my mind throughout the day. I just go until I'm super hungry and then I stand at the counter and scarf something quickly. So to actually block out a half hour and go and eat and listen to something fun or read something fun, I can see that makes me feel much better too. That's going to be all for this Friday update, but thank you for listening. And of course, if you are working on B2B writing, if you want to get some help and support with that and have the training you need in your back pocket, you'll definitely want to check out the B2B Moonshot Machine. And we just added this cool 6-month and quarterly option that I think is letting a lot of people try it out and figure out if this is going to be the right fit for them. So thanks for listening.